Fuzzy TV.
Well, folks, I tried to make an outdoor video for you today, show you a little of the great outdoors here in South Florida, but some guy started up his weed whacker. I guess I shouldn't complain. The fact that weeds need whacked in March is a good thing for me. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula to distinguish it from all other peninsulas, such as, well, I'll find some and let you know what peninsulas this isn't. Now, some people are uncomfortable about this topic. I get it. Number one, I got an email from somebody who says, why do you have to name Clyde's name? Why? From now on, no names. Well, the man has great intentions. Good, great friend, great believer. My answer was, well, no, I'm sorry, but I march to the orders of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's orders, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, expose, rebuke, and entreat. That's my three-part charge as an evangelist from Paul and a teacher. When you expose, rebuke, I studied this out years ago, and I realized, I'd never heard this before, that there was a divine order to expose, rebuke, and entreat. Most people like to entreat. They just like to tell the good news, forget criticizing people, forget causing waves. Well, I call these people one-third evangelists. Exposing first is like paving a road, but not cleaning the road. You're paving over dead skunks. You're paving over 7-Up bottles. Do they still make 7-Up? No. You're paving over rocks and tire fragments. No, you got to clear the road first. Oh, litter. Are you going to pave over litter? Is that what you're going to do? Or are you going to arrest the litterer? Unless you arrest the litterer, he's just going to follow you littering away. So expose is you expose the teaching. Rebuke, you can't rebuke a teaching. Shame on you, teaching. Stop it, teaching. Everybody stay away from teaching. No. You rebuke a teacher, the person doing it. That's the hard part. That's the part that's unpopular. That's why not many people do what I do. Some people are too squeamish for it. They don't have the stomach for it. That's why I'm doing this and they're doing whatever they're doing. Everybody fits their role. I don't like to do it. You know, if you're a burr under the saddle, it's not too great for the burr either, you know. So it's not like I'm in love with it, but I find myself doing this for 28 years, and so I'm going to keep doing it the way I'm doing it. Thank you very much. Somebody has to do it. And besides, Paul talked about names all the time. Paul's my example. Besides 2 Timothy 4, 2, what did he say? He said, avoid Hymenaeus and Philetus, for they swerve as to the truth, teaching that the resurrection has already occurred. Well, can't you just say that there's some people out there who say that the resurrection has already occurred? And Paul said they're subverting the faith of some people. That's what bothers me. That's where the red flag goes up. Paul, Clyde is subverting the faith of the believers, subverting it. And I can't stand it. Paul couldn't stand it. I can't stand it. So I have to call out the person, because if I just say somebody out there is all excited about Acts 28:28. I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's a big secret. Am I doing anybody a favor? No, they need to hear the name of the person doing it. So when they hear that name, oh, Clyde Pilkington, watch out. He teaches this crazy Acts 28:28 thing. It's necessary. So, thank you. Stated my piece on that. Oh, and Paul mentions at the end of 2 Timothy, Alexander the coppersmith displayed much evil to me. But God will get that son of a bitch. Now, I paraphrase that. But God will be judging him in the day. God won't forget his wicked acts toward us, the truth tellers. Now, so just a couple more days on this. But this, we're getting into a section now that I'm passionate about, a comment Paul made, that he thinks that there was, that the era in Paul's day passed away. That was a different era. And now there's a whole new set of instructions for people. The old set of instructions passed away. Now there's a new set of instructions. This is important to comment on. Because if you listen to Clyde's teaching, you're going to fall in love with the eon. That's what will happen. You will fall in love with the eon. You will immerse yourself in all the great things life has to offer, including your wife and your kids and your dogs and cats. And It's just like you'll be like the servant that's asleep. His master's away and the servant's asleep. You know, well, not going to be coming for 500 years. I'm not saying we have any fear for boating. Not at all. Not at all. But this doesn't encourage us to be diligent. It was suggested that my teaching causes people to be sloppy. I teach 2.5 minutes from now. Christ is going to come. Well, that Clyde said this. Well, that encourages sloth. What? It's the opposite. If I think Christ is coming, let's say in an hour, well, let me start with a practical example, and then we'll expand. If somebody calls me and says, hey, we're coming over to visit you in an hour. Can't wait to see your place. What am I going to do? Just sit back and watch some TV. Are you kidding? I'm going to be a white tornado around here. I'm going to be the Tasmanian devil. I have pride in my place. I'm going to be Mr. Clean. I'm going to go like crazy and then like the book, The Cat in the Hat, I'll just be sitting there on the sofa nice and calm like, oh, hello. Trying to hide the fact that I've been giving myself asthma and a heart attack for the last hour. Of course, if you have a little bit of time, you're going to work like crazy. It's actually Clyde's teaching that invites sloth and encourages love of the eon. Yes, that's right. It's that teaching. It's 500 years away. What are you worried about? Get married, have children, you know. Join the Elks Club. Start knitting a shawl. I mean, you can do all that stuff. But anticipate. I'm not saying don't do those things. Knit a shawl, please. Knit a shawl. Join the Elks Club. It's a wonderful organization named after an animal with antlers. Elks Club. Do it all. Get married. Have kids. But you must hold loosely to these things. And that's where I'm going to get into in 1 Corinthians 7 because Clyde is at it again. At it again. Paul says the era is limited. That is, it's being wrapped up. That's what that word means literally in the Greek. Wrapped up. They used it to describe the shroud that they wrapped around Ananias and Sapphira, those two morons who tried to extort Peter. Oh, my God. There's one guy I wouldn't recommend extorting. That is, you know, and that would be Peter. So they held back money from the apostles when they were trying to distribute it evenly. Yeah. So, no, it wasn't communist. It was just because they expected the kingdom to come any day. Yeah, God's tricky. I know. God's tricky. So they died on the spot, Ananias and Sapphira, and they took a shroud and they wrapped them tight so their limbs wouldn't dangle like this. It's embarrassing. If you're going to die, that's embarrassing enough. But to have your limbs dangling, no, wrap them up. Same word used to describe the era. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I think it's verse 9. We'll find out soon enough. The era is limited. It's being wrapped up. Paul said that. So it was being wrapped up then. How much is it being wrapped up now? But Clyde says, oh, that era is over. It's not being wrapped up anymore. Now it's being unwrapped. Yeah, let the limbs flap all over the place. No. Because I'm going to tell you, once again, Clyde quotes one of his favorite verses from 1 Corinthians 7, and then he stops. Remember yesterday I told you? He quotes Paul from Acts 26, when he's giving his testimony before Agrippa and that other weirdo, Festus, and Paul said, I've taught nothing except what the law and the prophets teach. And Clyde stops there. But it's the middle of a sentence. Paul's not done. He says, concerning things that are impending, events that are coming. Clyde stops in the middle of a sentence because he doesn't want to read the second part because it disproves the Acts 28:28 theory. Same thing is happening here. I'm going to get to that in a second. But first, quote, Clyde from the video, 7 things I didn't realize about prophecy. The nature of Paul's early epistles are Jewish. That is laughable. That is so easy to be disproved. It's a bold statement. Like, you must expect that nobody's going to check up on you when you say things like that. And you must expect when you are expounding upon a verse and you stop halfway in the middle of a sentence, you have to assume nobody's going to check up on you. Ah, but there's me. I'm on the scene. I'm on the job. I check up on these things. Whoa, 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 whoa. You stopped in the middle of a sentence. Why? It's happening again in 1 Corinthians 7. And it happens every time Clyde talks on this topic. Now, I need to say it again. I love Clyde. Clyde bailed me out of a really tough emotional spot back in 2014 or 15. Don't care to remember, but I lived there for a year, or maybe it was 2 years, maybe it was a year and a half. Such love, such love. Clyde is an amazing father, an amazing husband, and an amazing friend. I love him dearly, dearly. But he's teaching crazy stuff here that is taking away your expectation. It's derailing your peace. And like Paul said concerning Hymenaeus and Philetus, what did Paul say concerning? Oh, there's wrecking the faith of some. Sight, or they're shipwrecking. Shipwrecking the faith of some people. These morons were teaching that the resurrection already occurred. What if I told you that, well, folks, the snatching away has already happened. How's that going to make you feel? Not too good. That's what these morons were doing, basically. Paul said, whoa, whoa, who's doing this? Hymenaeus and Philetus? Okay, put out in the news bulletin. Avoid the teaching of Hymenaeus and Philetus. He has to name them so people know who to avoid. I'm not saying nobody should avoid somebody teaching something wrong socially. I mean, Clyde's certainly a member of the body of Christ. We're not going to avoid him as far as the faith. But when we hear this teaching and you associate it with the name of a person teaching it, you're on red alert. Right? You're on red alert. That's what I want you to be on, red alert. Oops, wait a minute. Somebody says something about this. Oh, yeah, it was Martin Zender. Because I had the boldness to name names. That's what Paul did. That's what I do. So I'm not going to stop. Thank you. So, the nature of Paul's early epistles are Jewish? Well, how about Galatians 3:28? Paul declares there to be neither Jew nor Greek. Neither Jew nor Greek in the body of Christ. Of course, he's teaching about the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. There's a whole analogy there about the human body is analogous to what? The body of Christ. Neither Jew nor Greek. How would Peter receive that message? If this is Jewish, and as Clyde said earlier, that there's nothing taught here except what is in the law and the prophets. I don't remember either the law or the prophets saying, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Almost the whole law centered upon Israel distinguishing themselves from the Greeks. They were superior to the Greeks, and they had a right to be because God chose them. Of course, they lorded it over people. I don't want to get into that. It's an ugly story. How about this, Romans 6:6? Our old humanity was crucified together with Christ. That's Jewish? Our old humanity was crucified? That means there's a new humanity, and a new humanity goes along with this truth of neither Jew nor Greek in the body of Christ. The new humanity has no national distinctions. That's one of the natures of the new humanity. What national distinction did Adam have? Exactly, none. No national distinction. He was one guy with no political views, no patriotism toward his country. He didn't know what a country was because there were no countries. Beautiful state of being, actually. Well, it's going to return to that. Old humanity was crucified together with Christ. Okay, so much for the nature of Paul's early epistles are Jewish. Oh, and by the way, Peter, being one of the 12, when he asked Jesus Christ what his lot would be in the kingdom after he had given up everything for him, Jesus said, well, you will sit on one of 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The message of there's neither Jew nor Greek is devastating to Peter's hopes and dreams. He wants to sit on one of the thrones, one of the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, you know what? I just realized what's coming up here. I might not even get to 1 Corinthians 7. At the 36 minute 26 second mark of Clyde's video, he epitomized a scoffer. I just was appalled by this passage. I couldn't believe Clyde was saying it. And this will set us up for tomorrow. Clyde said, I thought the time we lived in was limited. Oops, Jesus is coming back. I know when. 1976. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's laughing that apparently someone predicted that Jesus Christ would return in 1976 because the poor soul probably wanted to see Jesus Christ so bad and wanted to get out of an evil eon so bad that they made up some date. You know, I can almost excuse these people. I mean, I would rather have people setting false dates because they want to get out of here and they want to see Jesus Christ than not even think that it's a daily and minute by minute expectation. I'd almost rather that. Every 2.5 minutes, I'm wrong about when Christ is returning. I did the math one time to see how many times a day I'm wrong, but every 2.5 minutes that Christ doesn't come, I'm wrong. But if that 2.5 minutes expires, I'm kicking off the next 2.5 minutes. Maybe it's now. Does this stop me from working? Obviously not. Does this make me lazy? The opposite. It gives me more impetus, more reason, more motivation to encourage you as we see the days grow darker and darker and more wicked. Scoffers. Peter talks about the scoffers. Remember, in the last days, scoffers will come with their scoffing, saying, "Where is the promise of his presence?" That's exactly what Clyde did here. "I was told that Christ, I know when Christ is going to return." This is how he did. "I know when Christ is going to return, 1976. Ha, ha, ha." The whole room laughed. Like it was some kind of freaking Carol Burnett show or something. I couldn't believe it. Ah, it hurt me. Scoffers, all of them. Everybody in that room who laughed is a scoffer. "Where's the promise of his presence? Ho, ho, I thought the era was limited. Here we go, blah, blah." Peter says, "You need to be aware of something, you scoffers who say that because he hasn't come yet, that he won't come, or because everything's going at peace right now, and it looks like a rosy horizon, looks like a yellow brick road all the way to Oz. You people need to realize something," says Peter. "There was destruction of old. Oh, yes, there was a deluge. The disruption of the world and the flood of Noah. Don't be wise in your own estimation. Don't be imprudent." And that's what these people are doing. They're laughing. Laughing at our expectation. You know, God thank that guy who said 1976, the Lord is coming. I mean, it's a mess. You can't be wrecked by it. I mean, we expect it, but you can't be wrecked by it. Every 2.5 minutes that goes by, I'm not wrecked that Christ hasn't returned yet. I just sigh and I groan within myself, and the Spirit of God helps me groan. It groans with inarticulate groanings. Mine are articulate. You remember Peter Jennings on election night 2016 when Helmet Hair won the election, which was fabulous. He thought he was off camera. He thought they had gone to the commercial. I think Peter Jennings is with AABC. Even hear him go, he couldn't stand it because he's a lib. He's a lefty. Oh, so great to hear that. Every time I sigh, unfortunately, I think of Peter Jennings. I'd like to drive that from my mind, but I can't. So yeah, I sigh, but it doesn't wreck me. I keep going on. So I think, oh good, more time to herald the word. But then in 2.5 minutes, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Okay, no. All right, well, hey, time to make another show. Time to typeset another book. Time to email one of our printers and ask them when the freaking paper is coming in. Because of the scam, there's paper shortage in publishing. That's why you haven't gotten the 3 books yet. We're working on it. If we have to swim out past Alcatraz and grab one of those container ships and pull it in, we'll get these books to you. And for the next 30 seconds, there was more mocking. All right, I'm going to have to stop now because the next topic is loaded. This current era thing, Clyde thinks, is a different era now than when Paul lived. This is treacherous teaching, treacherous. It'll throw you off in your life. It'll throw you off in your plans for your life. It'll definitely throw you off of looking for Christ and loving his appearing. And it will put you in that lackadaisical mindset. Well, he's far off. No worries. jump into the world head first. Yeah, jump into the world head first with your little cocktail, your little tropical cocktail with an umbrella. Yeah. Eat, drink, and do merry, because the Lord's appearing is far off. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the way we are to behave as members of the body of Christ, who expect God to do what he promised. And again, I say, there's no way I'm going to let anybody on the horizon today, in this wicked world where we need all the spiritual help we can get, I'm not going to let anybody take away your and my expectations.